Epstein said this to me one time, but one day he pulled me aside and he said, Maria, look at this. You see all this? And I'm like, what? And he said, this room, all these decorators coming and going and all this stuffing, all this artwork and this beautiful furniture. You see it all? I said, yeah. And he said, I got it for a dollar. And this is the first time I heard the name Les Wexner. He said, Wexner gave it all to me. He'll do anything for me. When I called the FBI, I'm going to tell you what I told them. I said, I know this is strange, but I said, I have a report to make on someone that I've been working for that recently kidnapped me. And they said, who are you talking about? And I said, okay, well, his name is Jeffrey Epstein. And I said, and her name is Ghislaine Maxwell. And I said, but here's what's important. It also involves the Clinton family. It involves Bill Clinton for sure. It involves Donald Trump. And I said, but the most important one, and I said this, that he's the head of the snake, is Les Wexner. And they said, what do you think he is? And I said, he's Jewish mafia. And yes. They said, what do you mean? And I said, what do you mean? What do I mean? Yeah, I said, what do you mean? What do I mean? I said, he's not Italian. He's Jewish and he's mafia. I said, I can't be any clearer with you. And they said, how do you know he's Jewish mafia? And then I went on to list everything that I'd seen that was just so creepy.
Could you and how tell they me the dogs what you told them me. About yeah. why you thought Wexner was part yes. of the Jewish mob? Because that anything yes. you can tell me there helps me build my
yes.
case. I don't know if you read my
yes.
Background okay. in Wexner yes. in part 3 of my series or remember it, but there's definitely a lot of evidence
no, I haven't.
Pointing to him. Right. So there was this police report filed, and I think it was Columbus, about the murder of his tax attorney. And the police report was destroyed,
oh my God.
But there was a copy of it that ended up resurfacing 15 years later after it was supposed to be destroyed, that linked him pretty much directly to the National Crime Syndicate, which is the Jewish and Italian mafias working together.
Oh my God.
But in the 1980s, there yes. were these series of lawsuits and arrests made. Rudy Giuliani was actually a big part in that. It was like the pizza... something, I can't remember, but they basically, the Jewish mob
yes.
in New York took out the Italian mafia they'd been working with all those years and consolidated and basically just took over the whole thing. So anyway, Wexner has ties to those guys. So, but anything you can give me about what you saw that
oh
made you
God.
Think, so, I mean, there's clear ties from that, right? But beyond
yes.
that,
okay.
anything you can tell me about what you saw...
Right. Right.
Why you thought it was organized crime and not like intelligence, things like that. So anything there
okay.
is helpful.
Right. 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 So one of the things that made me think it was all the passports. I know for a fact Epstein had an Israeli passport because he showed me. Okay.
Yeah.
But Epstein, and I'll tell you about the Wexner, like why I think he's mafia, but I just want to say too why
okay, sure.
I thought it was really sketchy that they had like how Ghislaine had all those passports. She had a passport, a French passport, an English passport, an Israeli passport, an American passport, and there was one other. And then it made me really mad that when the FBI raided the safe, I know what was in that safe. And it's not a regular safe, it's a whole room, just so you know. So when people say a safe, they think, oh, it's a safe. If Wexner had one too, it's a whole room you walk into. And in that safe, he had a lot of photographs of children, and I know for about pictures of my sisters are in there, because one of the people from his freaking office had told me they were in his briefcase, and he kept his briefcase in that safe. He also kept everything in there, because he told me he kept it for Wexner, everything. And when I asked why they recorded everything all the time, I said, is Wexner really paranoid? And he said, Epstein said, yeah, that's one way of saying it. He keeps everything. He records it all. He said, I record everything, and I keep it for Wexner in the safe. Mm-hmm. So the first house I go to has pinhole cameras. Jeffrey's showing me. He's really proud of them. Second house I go to has pinhole cameras. He says, Wexner gave me this house for a dollar. Wexner gave me this for a dollar. Then I go to the apartment. They had pinhole cameras in the Victoria's Secret dressing room. And just to fast forward, when I was in Wexner's house, there were cameras there were pinhole cameras throughout that thing. And Jeffrey again is like, oh, look at all the pinhole cameras. And Ghislaine says, you need to be careful. We can see everything. When I would go to the restroom or take a shower or anything, Guylaine would call me, and from the speaker, and this is in New York, sometimes in London, in different places, she would say, get out of the loo, get off the toilet. She would start screaming at me. And I was on the toilet. And I'm like, what's happening? So then later Jeffrey's like, oh yeah, everything's being fed to Abigail. They're watching everything. They literally watched my every move, Whitney. Who does that? My point is, who has cameras everywhere? Sharpshooters, Dobermans, mafia. That's why I said mafia. I'm like, I don't know anyone who lives like this. There were little pinhole cameras in that first mansion that Annie met Jeffrey in. And in the second mansion that he gave Jeffrey for a dollar, they were in the building that his brother owned on 66th Street.
The apartment
there were pinhole
building?
Cameras. And all these buildings that Wexner... Yes.
Okay.
All the buildings that Wexner had owned... Well, so here's where they were in the building that Wexner owned. They were in the Victoria's Secret stalls. Even though I had this driver's license, and Jeffrey had given me his SUV to use while I was there, but I couldn't go outside because, Whitney, there were sharpshooters, and no one discusses this, actual freaking sharpshooters everywhere. And anyway, the weirdest part about being at Wexner's was it wasn't the basement, because they had a basement. It was, like, below that, and there was a sauna in that room, like a huge sauna, and then they had, like, a vault, and then they had a door to an underground tunnel. And the only way I knew it was an underground tunnel was because their maid told me. I said, what is this door? Because I used to keep everything down there. And she said, oh, that's the tunnel that leads to the main house. I'm like, well, that's weird. Why would they do that? And she said, oh, you don't know? And I said, no. And she said, there's a giant 10,000 square foot floor that raises up when someone goes through that tunnel. And then they can enter the room secretly in, and then no one ever sees them. The floor raises up. She said it's 10,000 square feet. I mean, here's the thing. I lived there for 3 months, and I never once saw him. I saw Abigail on her horses, you know, go out to get her horses. You know, I could just see her and go out, but I never once saw him. And that's why I called him, like, the Wizard of Oz, because he was controlling everything, but no one ever saw the guy. Okay, so Wexner set up, just so you know, nobody talks about this, but Whitney, before that first house, the house that Wexner gave to Jeffrey for a dollar, you know, it's like a, you know, the mansion that he raped all the children in. Before that house, there was another one. Yes, Wexner gave him that one, and that thing was incredible. That's where Annie actually met him. I brought her over there. But that house, that mansion then, was later given to Guylaine recently. She sold it to give it to, or the townhouse, whatever, and that's how she settled with Virginia. She sold that. Oh my God, that woman. And she also had an apartment she took me to. So then she shows me all this stuff on the mantle. She takes me to the mantle. I'd never been in this apartment. It's on the Upper East Side. It was like probably 3,000 square feet. Really nice apartment. Like, I didn't have any friends that lived that well, you know? But it wasn't, like, you know, showy like her other places. But she shows me on the mantle, and I'm like, oh, what's this? And she said, these are things my father took from the British Museum. And she's like, they're ancient relics. And I'm like, did she just say that? See, I could never repeat things to people because they think I was lying or something. And I'm like, what do you mean he took them? And she's like, he took them. He liked them. And she's like, this is an ancient Peruvian relic. You know, and she's showing me this stuff that was 22 karat gold that had been taken from graves, but out of the British Museum. I'm like, this is not good. And then she showed me all the royals. Like, she had about like 12 photo albums of growing up with the royals. Everyone thinks that they met at Oxford. No, they did not.
Yeah, I'm lying about that. Yeah.
She showed me pictures.
Yeah. Well, yes. I did an article where I brought up some scrubbed news reports talking about Guylaine and Andrew way before they said they officially met. And I also heard from someone that Epstein was in London a lot in the 80s and that he had met Prince Andrew at some point during his time in London in the 80s. And he was apparently dating Guylaine in the 80s. Even though they claim they met in the early 90s and all this stuff. So I know they're all lying. so trying to figure out like, right. how much they knew. I mean, any of that information is really helpful. So.
Right. And she grew up with the royals. Like, she showed me all the photo albums. Well, she also knew Fergie, like, a long, long time ago, because I saw pictures of her super young with Fergie before she was ever married to Prince Andrew. And I mean, it was weird. It's like somehow she knew a lot of these people. Now, she knew Prince Andrew when they were definitely like, I mean, she looked maybe 20 in some of these pictures, or maybe younger than that even with Prince Andrew. And so I can date some of it by telling you that some of the photographs where they're all super young, they were making fun. I'm not kidding you. The pictures of Diana when she was just dating the prince, and Diana's in the corner crying in some of these pictures, and Guylaine's like, look there, we made her cry. Isn't that funny? We hated Diana. That's what she said. And wow. I was like, oh my God, that's horrible.
I just don't think I have as many supporters in that environment than I did. Oh.
You mean within the royal household?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They see me as a threat of some kind.
Guylaine answers to Wexner. I know that for a fact.
So you think she answers more to Wexner than, like, I don't know, like Israeli intelligence where her dad worked, right? Do you think she's more like under Wexner than...
Right. No, I know she's Israeli. Yeah. Wexner is Israeli intelligence, 100%. And I believe that, I mean, there's no way it was just a sign. It was a sign that she would be under him. And I know that's where she got all of her funding. To do this scam with Epstein. I know that. Well, the thing that's so gross is that the FBI is complicit. You're the only one who cares about how it all began. That's what's so important.
That's where the real Israel. Story is. I mean, that's how you find out how extensive it is.
The story.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's all out of Israel. I'm going to tell you what Guylaine told me about her dad. Because, I knew her right after he died. Like, I think he'd only died, like, 2 years before.
He died in 91.
She was constantly grieving for him, right? She was constantly still in grief. And Epstein, okay, so she would tell the story that her dad had Epstein protecting her. And I'm like, wait, what? This is weird. So she would say that Epstein was kind of assigned her to take care of her because her dad, like right before her dad passed away.
Take me back to this 1980s, because Ari Ben-Menashe says that's when Guylaine was smitten by Jeffrey Epstein and Robert Maxwell brings her in and then him in, Jeffrey Epstein in, to introduce him to Ari Ben-Menashe and says, we want this guy to work for us during Iran-Contra. Can you confirm any of those details?
I can help you understand the timeline and who participated with Jeffrey Epstein and how he became a spy and what he did when he became a spy. I can help you in all those areas because I was there.
You were there? Did he tell you I'm a spy? Did he go and say I'm working for the Israelis?
He told me that he was a spy. He was fully aware that I was asked to join to be a spy. And that I rejected the request.
So Douglas Lease asked you to join them and be a spy. And you said, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that.
I rejected the request of the spying.
Okay.
Jeffrey Epstein accepted the request of the spying. And he further cemented his opportunity in espionage when he met Ghislaine Maxwell and entered into a serious relationship with her as a lady-man relationship that was a very strong bond between them, a very powerful and dynamic work relationship between the two of them. And they've admitted to the public that they took over Robert Maxwell's spying records operations and moved that to Florida to Jeffrey Epstein's house. That's been admitted. That's a fact.
He and Epstein were involved in laundering about $1.5 billion, I think it is, And Hoffenberg ended up in upstate New York in a federal prison. And he was there at the time that Epstein was in Florida being charged. So Ghislaine Maxwell had all the, she was the glue. She was
the
fixer.
Although Epstein was with Les Wexner at the time, right?
Yes, he was. He was with people called the Mega Group. I mean, these group of big sort of businessmen who are linked to Israel. Some would say they're the rich Zionists in America. But I think that if as I believe, Epstein more than likely was connected to Mossad, she was too. And I think that she would have been used as the bait. My personal feeling, I think that she helped Epstein moved in that kind of direction. In other words, where he wasn't just sort of the money guy, kind of crooked money guy. He was a money guy who could actually help Israel.
But her dad knew him.
Right.
I thought that was really strange.
A guy that used to work for Israeli intelligence with Robert Maxwell told me that he had seen Jeffrey Epstein in Maxwell's office in like the mid-80s. So that definitely goes back several years.
Part of the business too? Was she involved in what you were doing over there?
No. But later on, she got involved with Israeli intelligence together with him.
Right.
But not in the Swans deal, in Iran, no. Business.
Would you say she was an agent as well? Was she someone working for Israeli intelligence?
Oh, definitely.
Military intelligence as well?
Yes.
And when that happens, because I have no idea how that world works, so I'm learning a little bit.
It happened by accident.
Do you get orders and you have to do certain things,
you get projects. What really happened, my take on it, and the later thing, is that these guys were seen as agents. They found a niche for themselves, blackmailing American and other political figures.
For the Israelis? So it's hard for people to understand why Israel would want to get blackmail on an American. I'm asking a question that I can answer it quite properly, but for most people, it's hard for them to think about Israel as being blackmailing their leaders in the United States. It's a very...
It was quite a MO.
En dan de Mossad en Clinton. Begin 97 ontdekt de FBI dat de Mossad een spion heeft in het Witte Huis. Iemand op een hoge positie met de codenaam MEGA. De FBI begint een klopjacht, maar moet daarmee stoppen. De Mossad chanteert het Witte Huis.
So they set up an operation outside Monica's apartment, and they bugged it. And they picked up some 30 hours of phone sex between the president and Mr. Lewinsky.
30 hours?
About 30 hours, yeah. And those are all taken back to Tel Aviv. Mossad probably remains still top of the pile because it's never lost its war footing mentality. Mossad also has, in a sense, an easier role to play in a way because it says first, last, and always Israel, always. And anything that only affects Israel is what interested primarily.
Sleeping around is not a crime. Maybe embarrassing, but not a crime. But sleeping with underage girls is a crime.
I did receive money to go to these parties. After every party, I was paid by Mr. Epstein. There wasn't, out of all the girls that were there with me, most of them were 13, 14. I think the oldest one might have been 16, just turned 16. And she'd been there for a while. He'd see me, he would say, "Oh man, you look," and it wasn't like a, "Oh, you remind me of my daughter." It was this sick, evil, like, "You remind me of my daughter.
You are special. You remind me of my daughter."
I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
It was just this weird pleasure, sick smile. Like, I don't even want to know what he was thinking about. I could imagine what he was thinking about. After the parties would end, we were to report to Mr. Epstein and basically tell him everything that happened. With who, what they liked, what they disliked, if there was any requests, if there was any talk about anything. That's what, you know, we told Mr. Epstein everything. He ripped off all my clothes and he started to basically have sex with me, and I was screaming because I'd never had sex before. It was my first time, and Tiffany was yelling at him too. She was saying I was a virgin, and he told us to just shut the fuck up and just basically took my virginity while I was crying and telling him to stop, and that's basically begging for him to just stop. And Tiffany was didn't know what else to do either. No one was there to help us or me. So after the fact, you know, he basically finishes it. You know, it didn't take that long at all. I mean, it felt like it was like 5.5 hours. It felt like it was an eternity. Like, I don't even know how long it was, but. He was done, and I was crying, and Tiffany was consulting me, and she was, you know, apologizing. She told me that she just never put me in that situation again. But he comes over mad because I was crying, and he said that I should be thankful that someone like Donald Trump took my virginity. He basically didn't say took my virginity. He said, I should be glad that someone like Donald Trump popped my cherry. And not some pimply little 14-year-old. And I just was like, what if I said, what if I get pregnant? Not even talking to him. I didn't want to talk to him. I was talking to Tiffany. And he said, well, you'll get an abortion then, bitch. And then just walked away. I told Tiffany I needed to go home.
He made sure these girls were underage. I have theories about who wanted him dead. Probably there were quite a number of people in the United States wanted him dead, but I would think mainly the Israelis.
Mainly? I mean, look at us. Yeah. They have the most to lose from all of this coming up.
Because you really didn't want the stories to come out about how they were blackmailing American politicians.
No.
Yeah, it's true, because Gilan's thing that she told me was that he was assigned to her to protect her because her dad had died. And I'm like, who assigned you? You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean? And when she was showing me pictures of her dad and crying over them, I had to sit with this bitch all the time and go through photo albums. And like, I mean, I know her really well and I know how she operates. And that's why I'm so afraid that she's still on the loose. And I know who's taking care of her. I know it is the Rothschild. I know it is. And I'll tell you how I know. Because Lady Rothschild is ready to kill me. Because she's best friends with...
The Rothschild?
She's going to sue.
Is this who you're talking about?
Lynn. Yeah. 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 Yeah, Lynn Forster. She's calling me a liar because she's saying that she set Dershowitz... See, I saw Dershowitz coming in and out of the house.
Yeah, she introduced Epstein.
She's saying it's not possible.
She claims that anyway.
She didn't. Yeah, she did not. She did not. But she wants to think so. So their story is that she introduced them as a gift from Wexner. Because every year Wexner would give a gift to Epstein. And this year, he's such a wonderful gift, Dershowitz.
Look, I was introduced to him by the Lady Rothschild.
So she gave him as a gift, you know. But anyway, she said to me, he was assigned to me to protect me because my dad died. And I was like, I don't understand this. And I said, well, you know, what happened to your dad? She said, those cunts pushed him. And I thought she said off the baby Gilan. So for years, I thought it was the lady Gilan. He said, those cunts pushed him off of the baby Gilan.
People who knew him at the time, who worked with him, have said to me, you know, Robert Maxwell thought he actually owned the Mossad, like he owned newspapers and everything else, that he'd bought them with his millions of stolen money he was feeding to them and so on, with these incredible deals he was making with these people he was bringing them to and so on. That didn't work with the Mossad. They thought he'd become, excuse me, what we call a loose cannon.
So then she says to me, you know, my dad was a very powerful man, and, you know, he was very important. She said, Maria, you don't understand. And then she's showing me, like, who she grew up with and how powerful he was and how much money they had. And then she goes on to tell me, she said, you know, Maria, and this is true, she said, and she showed me, she had passports. Get this. I don't know how this is legal. She had a passport, a French passport, an English passport, an Israeli passport, an American passport, and there was one other. I'm trying to think of what the other one was.
Get your passport to the ocean. So you will have two passports.
And I was like, I thought you were only allowed to be citizen like of two countries or something. I didn't know. And she's like, oh, no, 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 because of my dad. I'm a citizen of all these nations. Later, when she was talking to me about something one day, she said that the Rothschilds were the greatest protectors of her family. And she wasn't talking about Lynn Forrester, by the way.
She was talking about the other ones. Yeah.
His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment of Palestine as a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours, Arthur Balfour.
And here it is, the Balfour Declaration. What do you feel when you see it here?
I genuinely feel it's one of the most extraordinary moments in the history of the Jewish people. If you think it took 3,000 years to get to this. And then you say, how did this miracle happen? It's the most incredible piece of opportunism.
People that are in her. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Lynn Forrester said the greatest, they've always been the greatest. Rothschild family, and that was in like the late 90s, early 2000s. So, yeah, if she was talking about this to you before then,
it was
she
through,
didn't mean her.
It was through Gilan. I mean, that Lynn Forrester, I believe, didn't she hook up through them?
She met Evelyn de Rothschild, who's her husband, through Henry Kissinger, I believe, of Bilderberg.
Yeah, both of Kissinger. Okay. Yeah, of course.
Bill Clinton has a very warm friendship with none other than Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. You know Lynn, of the infamous Rothschild banking family. She was introduced to her Rothschild husband by none other than Henry Kissinger at none other than the 1998 Bilderberg Group Conference. For real, that is how Lynn became a member of the Rothschild family, a family who has been under scrutiny for centuries for using their banking wealth to control the outcomes of wars and massive global shifts in power. You don't get more establishy than Lynn Rothschild.
The other thing about Wexner is, I'm sure you know this, but this is something I noticed when Jim and I drove through, going, you know, Ohio. As soon as you cross into Ohio from Kentucky or wherever, you get the first building you see is the Abigail Wexner Center for Women. I thought I was going to die. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then their buildings dot the whole state. So no matter where you are, you see Wexner this, Wexner that. But then when you go to the bathroom, especially as you get close to Columbus, there's human trafficking signs everywhere, Whitney, everywhere. So when you go to the bathroom in Columbus, on the door it says, do not speak to anyone, do not walk with anyone, go back to your car. I mean, there's like instructions on how to not be trafficked.
Reports of human trafficking in Ohio are on the rise, according to a new report at the Polaris Project, which works to prevent human trafficking.
It's happening all over the country. The state of Ohio, in fact, ranks fourth in the nation.
Right here in the Buckeye State lies an underworld burning with sex and prostitution.
Ohio, actually, in the United States, ranks as high as fourth in terms of the most prevalent use of sexually trafficked people.
In Ohio, we see the average age of entry into sex trafficking to be about 15 years old.
And I'm sorry, I don't believe in coincidences at all. I don't believe in them. And years ago, when I was in hiding, I was listening to this show and it said, did you know that all human trafficking begins and ends in Columbus, Ohio? Isn't that interesting? And I'm like, what?
I had no idea in Columbus, Ohio.
What? So human trafficking from the United States, even if they get the kid from Phoenix before they take him to Mexico, they go to Columbus. What are the chances? I mean, wow. He owns Columbus,
yeah.
And it's the hub. Now, it's not the number one, L.A. is the number one center for human trafficking now, but at the time it was Columbus, and it's still Columbus is number three. It's not the third biggest city, and it's also the place where they all go. They all go to there before they leave the country or go to wherever they're going. They go to Columbus first. Why? Why do they take everyone to Columbus first? And, I mean, the fact that they watched me like that, that Abigail, I had to get her permission to go outside. One day, I went outside and without asking first, and a pack of Dobermans came towards the door. Like flying, I got inside. I had a Yorkshire Terrier, and they would have eaten me alive. And I'm not afraid of dogs at all, but these dogs are trained to kill. And so I didn't go back outside for like a month.
The victims of former Ohio State University Dr. Richard Strauss are demanding a federal and state investigation into the Wexner family. The letter to the state attorney general and U.S. attorney general claims Les and Abigail Wexner assisted in the cover-up of an assault victim. Now, this is the letter that requests an investigation into the allegations of Maria Farmer. She claims she was sexually assaulted by Jeffrey Epstein in Wexner's home back in 1996. The letter states that Farmer was forced to stay on the property by Wexner's security team. A Wexner family spokesperson said the Wexners had no knowledge of Farmer and never met her. We were also given a statement that reads in part, quote, the Epstein house was not a Wexner guest house, was not on land owned by the Wexners, and was nearly 1/2 mile away from the Wexner home. The letter also brings attention to the fact that Abigail Wexner serves on the Ohio State Board of Trustees. The five Strauss victims are asking for the investigation because they said the allegations are terrifying and, quote, bear directly on our own fight for justice. Strauss is accused of sexually abusing at least 300 young men. We reached out to the victims who wrote this letter and to OSU for a statement, but haven't heard back. I also reached out to the Attorney General's office and was told they are reviewing the letter and was given a statement that reads in part, quote, the office takes all allegations of sexual assault seriously. In Ohio, primary criminal jurisdiction rests with local prosecutors and police agencies. The Attorney General only has authority over such matters when invited in by local authorities.
And who has, like, a tunnel under their house and the floor raises up? I think Jeffrey just did his bidding for Wexner in whatever way he wanted. I think Jeffrey did whatever Wexner wanted. And he provided Wexner not only with boys, but with girls.
But really quick, you sort of mentioned that you knew that Wexner had some sort of Israel tie and that Ghislaine was working under him. Can you elaborate on that? Do you think he had ties to Israeli intelligence?
Yeah, I would ask Mr. Dershowitz to also address the topic of Zev Shalev at Narrative, the Israeli-born former CBS News executive producer, and Whitney Webb, who have reported that Jeffrey Epstein was being run by Israeli military intelligence, as disclosed by Ari Ben-Menashe. And the allegations in the book Robert Maxwell, Israel Super Spy, that Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, was a KGB and Israeli intelligence agent who worked with the Red Mafia and Mogilevich to set up money laundering instruments around the world. So, Mr. Dershowitz, your background in defending Pollard and then Epstein suggests that you might be an agent of a Russian-Israeli axis. So I'd ask you to address that. From a Jewish American patriot of conscience perspective, that's me.
Okay. Epstein working for the Mossad. What intelligence agency would trust Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah.
Okay. And why do you think that?
So I absolutely do. So this is why I think it. So Jeffrey and Ghislaine, they were at the estate. You know, they came like three times to visit Wexner while I was there. And they would go meet with him, and then they'd come back. And Ghislaine said they were working on all these Israeli charities.
The leadership is the most precious commodity. I established the Wexner Heritage Foundation because I thought it was terribly important that the lay leaders of the Jewish community be intelligent, educated, informed.
Going to Israel was the highlight of the entire Wexner experience.
The key to the future of the Jewish people lies in the creative and thoughtful and respectful interchange between Israel and Jews in the diaspora.
For students and for, Jewish people. And I remember thinking, oh, that's weird. And she was like, you don't understand our loyalty to Israel, Maria. You don't understand our loyalty. She's like, unless you're a dual citizen, you just don't get it. She's like, your people could never understand. She would say, my people, your people, the chosen ones, all that bullshit. It's just unfortunate that all the Jewish people I met also happen to be pedophiles that run the world economy, you know? So it gives you like a bad taste in your mouth. Like, ugh. You know, they did a number on all of us. We've all had a hard time with like a lot of it because of the abuse. You know? So it's hard to not then go, all these people are like this, when it's not true. Not all of them. Just a huge chunk of elites are like this. I guess all of the elites. I don't know. This is how the elites speak to their, quote, servants. They're I don't know, just like the regular people who aren't Jewish, that aren't allowed to eat at the country clubs. It's a big part of it. The whole time I was there, I lost 20 pounds. I was very small anyway. But I lost 20 pounds because I wasn't allowed to go get food. And when I called Gilan and asked why I couldn't eat there, she said, it's a Jewish country club. You're not Jewish. They're not going to serve you. This is how this woman spoke to me. Yeah, this is how these people think, Whitney. They, honest to God, think their DNA is better than everybody else's. I swear to you. It was a theme all the time with them. With Eileen Guggenheim, with Jeffrey Epstein, with Gilan, it was a theme. You know, Jeffrey was a lot less horrible than Gilan as far as a human being, like just being around, because she was raping just as many children.
So the country club, you weren't allowed to go because it was only for, people of a certain religion
Jewish
and
people.
Ethnicity. Okay, so yeah. That's unfortunate.
Wow. I mean, they could cut you down, and it was so morally devastating. Like, You just felt useless as a human being when you were told you're nothing because you're not Jewish, you're stupid, you're useless, a useless white girl, a poor little peasant. You know, I mean, just the things that I was called, I was just like, I believed it, you know, because it was like a cult, the problem. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the way Jeffrey and Gilan spoke about African Americans. It was like, it made my skin crawl. Anybody who was not Jewish, and you can write about this, but the way they spoke about them, it was really horrifying, and it showed me a great deal about how these people truly believe that they're chosen to do something here. I don't know. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, and it was every one of them, the way they spoke. And one time I heard Isabel say to her mother, Eileen, Mommy, why do you call Maria a nobody? And she said, Honey, Isabel, Maria is not a Jew. She is a nobody.
Wow. Well, you know, it is worth
so
pointing.
So you can see why for about 20
years.
Well,
that type of stuff I might actually include just because the Maxwell family have
you
ties
should include
to this
it.
Group
you
that's,
should include it.
What's it called? Chabad Lubavitch. And that group openly talks about how only Jews are human and the rest of human beings are like cattle, basically.
Zorat Hashem Ziyachzor. הם ירצו הגויים להיות עבדים שלנו.
זהו הרב אליעזר קשתיאל, ראש ישיבת בני דוד באלי.
הכי טוב להיות עבד של יהודים. הם שמחים להיות עבדים, רוצים להיות עבדים.
הישיבה הזו מיועדת לבוגרי המכינה הקדם צבאית, המוכרת והיוקרתית בציונות הדתית. רבים מהם מגיעים אליה לאחר שהם מסיימים שירות צבאי.
במקום שהוא יהיה סתם מסתובב ברחובות ועושה שטויות ואלימות ומזיק אחד לשני, עכשיו הוא יעבד, החיים שלו מתחילים להתנהל.
לפי הרב קשתיאל, האדונים הם היהודים, העבדים הם הערבים, החלוקה לא מקרית, זה עניין ביולוגי, בעיות גנטיות.
יש מסביבנו עמים כאלה, בעיות גנטיות. תשאל ערבי פשוט, איפה אתה רוצה להיות? הוא רוצה להיות תחת הכיבוש. למה? כי הם לא, יש להם בעיה גנטית, הם לא יודעים לנהל מדינה, הם לא יודעים לעשות כלום. תראה איך הם נראים.
והנה התורה כולה, תורת הגזע.
בוודאי שיש גזענות, מה אנחנו לא יודעים שיש גזעים שונים בעולם, מה זה סוד זה, מה זה לא נכון, זה נכון, מה לעשות?
בעוד יומיים עם ישראל יציין את יום השואה, בין היתר את החלוקה של הנאצים לגזעים, עליונים ונחותים, והנה בגרסה העברית.
כן, אנחנו גזענים, אנחנו מאמינים בגזענים. יש גזעים בעולם ויש תכונות גנטיות של עמים, וזה דורש מאיתנו לחשוב איך לעזור להם. יש הבדלים בין גזעים, וזה בדיוק סיבה להשית עוזרה.
מי שמחה להחליט מי זה מי?
אני רואה שאני מגיע להישגים הרבה יותר מרשימים ממנו.
Yes. Well, this is another thing Eileen Gilan said. Well, Gilan did make it very clear to me that Annie was very lucky to be able to carry a Jewish baby. That was another thing. She said she would have been so lucky. See, they constantly made it very clear to me. You can't eat at the country club because you're not a Jew. You can't. And I mean, if people take people, it's like they get hit with a soccer ball in the gut. I've told every news network. And they go, oh, we can't talk about that.
Let me be very frank with you, Amy. We have to say the truth. The Israeli lobby, the Jewish lobby, are by far too strong and too aggressive. It's not good for the Jewish community. It's not good for Israel. But the Israeli propaganda and the Jewish propaganda in recent years made it as a systematic method. Whenever anybody dares to raise questions or to criticize Israel, he is immediately and automatically labeled as anti-Semite, and then he has to shut his mouth, because after this, what can he say? Yes, it is legitimate to criticize Israel. Yes, it is legitimate to raise questions, and this does not mean that we are anti-Semites. We are not ready to play this game anymore, in which they shut our mouths with those accusations, which in most of the cases are hollow. Well, I saw the other day a congressman say that nobody should question the relations between the United States and Israel. Excuse me? Nobody should question the relations between Israel and the United States. Here from Tel Aviv, I claim that those relationships are corrupted and are bad for peace and bad for Israel for the long run, because the United States let Israel go crazy, continue the occupation, do whatever it wants, and get this automatic and blind support.
And this maybe you don't want to hear, I don't know. And I certainly don't want to hurt you on your show. You have one of the best. You're fair. But I believe that Israel has a powerful stranglehold on the American government. They control both members of the House and the Senate. They have us involved in wars in which we have little or no interest. Our children are coming back in body bags. Our nation is bankrupt over these wars. And if you open your mouth, you get targeted. And if they don't beat you at the poll, they'll put you in prison.
Of course, you can't talk about the truth, right? You can, but most people just won't. And I think it's a huge part of it, because this is a problem. This elitism is very deep.
The thing of it is that Jews shouldn't marry Arabs.
Shouldn't marry Arabs. Why do you feel strongly about that?
Because Jews is a special nation that God gave it to the Jews, and we don't want Jews to get mixed up with together with a different nation.
Okay. בסדר בעברית? פשוט מאוד, צריך להיכנס לשטחים, וכל מחבל שעושה פיגוע צריך להרוג אותו, צריך להרוג את המחבלים, ואז הם יפחדו ולא יעשו לנו בעיות, והכל יהיה בסדר. הם יהיו בכפרים שלהם, אנחנו נחיה פה, לא צריך להיות ביחד, והכל בסדר.
And these are the people pushing racism. But I know a lot of Jewish supremacists, they're all elite. And they're all connected, and they're all in big groups, and they are the biggest supremacists I've ever met.
I'm there to put terror on people in Palestine. I'm there to police every minute of their life. I'm there to take their life and control it, to go into their houses in the middle of the night, to arrest them, children, adults, women, young men, take their life sometimes, responding to protest, to any resistance to us, with a very, very hard violence, with rubber bullets, which is of course not rubber, but real right. bullets, just covered with a little bit of rubber, or tear gas canister, or sometimes live ammunition that will take the life of one of the kids in Hebron at the time that I'm there. I'm later, after his life was taken, is ordered to make sure that nobody from his family getting out of the home to the funeral, make sure that everybody is under curfew because the Israeli army is afraid of revenge of the family and the relative. So I'm there making sure that the family does not leave the house. And as the father come out to understand what's going on, we arrest them. And when the mother of the child that our unit killed just a night before that, coming out and starts screaming at us in Arabic, in words that I didn't understand at the time, I could understand every word she was saying. Because her screaming was exactly like the screaming of my grandma when I was growing up and she was dreaming on Auschwitz.
Quote, I was ready to throw a brick at her head and kill her. In my opinion, all the leftists are Israel haters. Those people have no place in our country, both the Arabs and the leftists. Iran, as someone who grew up in Israel, is this type of sentiment more common than not?
Yes, of course. The Israeli society is very much in a national identity, is very much in a fascist identity. But we need to ask ourselves the real questions, like why is that? Why is nobody talking about what is the interest to stuff like taking more land from Palestinians, or grabbing more settlements, expanding the settlements, I'm sorry, or attacking in Gaza, like the last offense of the last massacre. The beneficiary of this situation are not the Israeli public, it's not the kids in the school, it's not the fascism in the street. The people that really, really get something out of it is the people that run the country. And not only Israel, also here in the US and people in Europe.
And the things they said about black people made me cry, honest to God, it made me sick.
The Likud member of parliament, Mary Regev, stated from the stage of an anti-refugee rally, "The Sudanese are a cancer in our body." Interior Minister Eli Yishai claimed that African refugees were raping many Israeli women, who do not complain because they don't want people to know they were also given AIDS.
I was like, I can't. And they make it very clear. They made it very clear that I was a servant because I was white. I was a white servant.
כל הגויים שאתה רואה שיש בעולם המיליארדים האלה, הם הכל רק בשביל שהיהודים יהיה להם איזה תואר. אנחנו לא רואים את זה, אנחנו לא יודעים בדיוק.
היות ואנחנו בגלות, אז אוטומטי עדיין הם מאוד משרתים אותנו לגמרי, רק חלקית.
כל אחד יהיה,
אוקיי,
אז כל אחד יהיה לו...
בינתיים המשיח לא כאן, אז איך הם משרתים אותנו?
הם בונים לנו רכבים?
בניינים?
הם בונים את אצלנו?
אבל יש גם יהודים שעושים את זה.
Yeah. It was made very clear to me. No, you're just the servant, you're white. And I'm just like, let me tell you something, if I walk out of here not, you know, at all racist, it's a freaking miracle, because I'm still, you know, I struggle every day with it. I'm like, oh, I was so abused, you know. It's just, I guess it could have happened from any group, but because they're the ones that happen to control the world, it's hard, it's really hard, like this specific group, you know, of elite. And the other thing that pisses me off is this whole anti-Semitic BS, because they call Bernie Sanders anti-Semitic.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Like, when is it going to end?
Sanders an anti-Semite. I think he tolerates anti-Semitism. It's done over the years.
I've interviewed Bernie Sanders many times. I've never heard him make an anti-Semitic comment. And then, Alan, he's Jewish.
So is Norman Finkelstein. So is Noam Chomsky. So is Gilad Atzmon, some of the worst people in terms of not promoting Jewish values are Jews. That's no excuse. Karl Marx was a Jew, by heritage. So that's no excuse.
Like, that's
it's out of
scam.
Control.
Plus,
and the whole
I'm really
loyalty
one of my
thing,
best friends.
You can't say that, even though you just mentioned that what Ghislaine told me, right? And Sheldon Adelson, he's on video saying, all I care about is being a good citizen of Israel, and he's the top political donor in the United States.
I am not Israeli. The uniform that I wore in the military, unfortunately, was not an Israeli uniform. It was an American uniform. All we care about is being good Zionists, being good citizens of Israel.
So the fact that you're not allowed to talk about it, I think, is very troubling, right? So, but anyway, I want to go back to some of what told you about, at least like intelligence stuff, and what you heard about like Israel and Israeli
intelligence. Well, let me tell you what she said about her dad.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she said about her dad's funeral too. She told me, she said he was such an important person for Israel that they gave him a state funeral, and she went on and on and on about this funeral ceremony, and she showed me pictures of like what a big deal it was. And she said they murdered him, that Israel murdered him. She said the CUNPs murdered him, as she's telling me about this. So like, she's saying Israel murdered their assets.
They do that.
I don't know. That's what she believed. And yeah.
Now, why do you say that Ghislaine would have been involved with Mossad, considering what happened to her father?
Well, people said she was one of the Maxwells who felt that her father was murdered, but they all suspected that there was a case of murder.
I thought after like talking to Chef Andy that he jumped off the boat, because Chef Andy was like, Maria, that guy is the biggest criminal in history in London, and he had stolen so much money that I think he jumped.
And this memorial in Jerusalem proves it.
Lonely, burdened by debts, and facing exposure as a fraudulent bankrupt, Robert Maxwell retreated during his last days into memories of his childhood and origins.
And I was like, oh, okay. Because, you know, this is just his opinion. But Andy knew all of them. He knew Wexner before Wexner and Epstein were working together. So that's why he's the Holy Grail, I'm telling you. I'm going to send you his photo and his information. If you can get that guy to talk, oh my God. But anyway, he's Jewish too. I was the only like non-Jewish employee. That was the other thing. They wouldn't have people around that weren't Jewish. It was really weird. Like they go to, the only people, now of course all the people they raped were never Jewish. You know, that was like another rule, I think. I mean, maybe it wasn't a rule, but it seemed to be. But the children were never Jewish, you know? Just the employees and like a lot of, like Leslie Groff and those people, you know, that they had around were usually, like they trusted each other, but they don't trust people outside their network. So it's not just that they're Jewish, it's that they're connected. I mean, it's so obvious. You know, I know she's in England with the Rothschild, and I have never been wrong about one aspect of this case, Whitney. I have never been wrong about it. And she's not in Israel. She is in England, and I know she's being protected by that evil monster family. They did definitely want to kill me for a long time, and now I'm, like, not that important to them, but I'm not a very good thing for them to be, you know, to be speaking out. Oh, my gosh, that woman is the most dangerous asset for Israel that you can even imagine. I mean, she is so dangerous. By 1995, they were full-time. She was full-time what she called the lady of the house. And she was full-time getting children for him. Full-time. I mean full-time. And the other person who was always going around with her, this is really weird, Donald Trump's ex-wife, Ivana, was always in the car with her. I mean, constantly. No one, not one news organization will mention that. I want Ivana Trump to explain herself. That big old cow. Explain yourself. Why were you going out acquiring children with this woman? Because they'd come back and there'd be a pile of kids.
Wow.
And that woman is awful. That Ivana Trump. What would happen is she'd say, I'm going out with Ivana. And she would say, you know, Maria, come along. And I would ride in the limo. And the driver knew what they were doing. We would go in the limo and she'd be chatting with Ivana. And then she'd go, oh, wait, hold on. I see someone. And she'd run out and, like, talk to a child. And exchange information with them and then come back. And then that child would be like the next day at the house. Victoria's Secret. I asked her about 10 times because I have OCD. And if I don't understand something, I'll just keep asking it. And so I would say to her, why are their children modeling for Victoria's Secret? They don't even have breasts, you know? And she's like, oh no, we need nubile for Victoria's Secret. We need nubile. That was the word she used constantly. Nubile, nubile, nubile. And I admit that I didn't know what it was, so I looked it up and I was like, that's kind of gross. Like, why do they have to just have started their period to model? You know? There are only 30 women that have come forward. 30. I saw between, I'm not kidding, I'm very disturbed by this part. I saw at least 5 girls come in that house a day. It's in the thousands. Where are they? Where are they? Are they dead? Brad said he knows of 500 just in Florida. Like, we can't find them. Where are they? These children were between, you know, thousands. I was there a year and I saw thousands of little girls, which is, it was so exhausting, Whitney. They were in his offices. There were just constantly little girls there. Constantly. Wexner is Israeli intelligence, 100%. He's the head of the snake. She was like, you don't understand our loyalty to Israel, Maria. You don't understand our loyalty. Oh, my gosh. That woman is the most dangerous asset for Israel that you can even imagine. I mean, she is so dangerous.
Illustration for the FBI. And it shows all these perpetrators. And it's based on Bosch, a painting, you know, from long ago in the 1500s. It's based on a painting he did called The Garden of Earthly Delights. But I did it more like from a child's eye so that, you know, children would see heaven on top and hell on the bottom and earth in the middle. So this is what I did. And I'm going to walk you through it. This is Gloria Allred. And here, let's see if you can see her.
There you go. Yeah, great.
She's really like Satan, okay? And then you have up here Jeffrey Epstein. He's in a little UFO stuck on a NASA tower. But I'm just going to walk you through this slowly. You can see some of the perpetrators and Alan Dershowitz. He's not wearing his underpants, Alan Dershowitz. And the lawyers. Okay. Here's, can you see Abigail Wexner?
Oh, I can.
Okay. And the head of the snake here. You see him?
Yes, and Ghislaine Maxwell right behind.
Yeah, Ghislaine. We have some other really big heroes here. And then we have some really gross co-conspirators. Just going to go through those.
Is that Bezos down there?
Elon Musk. What a piece of crap. Look at him. Oh, how funny. And then here you have Donald Trump, Sarah Kellen. For some reason, something weird came up on my screen. So I don't know what that is. Okay. So anyway, I hope you can see it all.
Everything's looking great.
I made him a very little man, Donald Trump. I'm going to tell you why. I met him with Jeffrey Epstein. And this man, Bill Clinton, came to visit Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein at the estate. This is someone who doesn't count. And so anyway, we just have some, you know, an illustration for the FBI. Because apparently they can't follow verbal cues. So I wanted to help them a little bit.
Yeah, they can't follow evidence. Names, numbers, associates, time frames, all those things seem to be void when it comes into an investigation of their overlords.
Because if you look at the history, it becomes really clear that Epstein was part of this larger network of sexual blackmail operations that have existed in the U.S. since the 1920s that trace back to this national crime syndicate. Even though he was working for Israeli intelligence, the mega group is that same syndicate that's been using sexual blackmail to control politicians since the 1930s, really. And this is, you know, the consequences of the impunity for those people, you know. If they've been doing it since the 30s, they're doing it now. You know, it's not something that stops with Epstein, basically. So it's really important to understand how we got to Epstein in order to understand the significance of that scandal, right? Because there are ties between this Epstein, the Epstein network. There's ties to the Franklin scandal. There's ties to the sexual blackmail operation of the White House call boys that was run by Craig Spence. In the 1980s, I mean, the ties are just very extensive, and a lot of that history has been forgotten. And I think people, you know, need to realize how deep this goes in order for us to be able to identify where this type of behavior is really coming from. And it's coming from the fact that our intelligence agencies have been in bed with organized crime for decades and decades and decades. And us, even though intelligence agencies say that they're here to help protect us and it's about national security, they themselves operate as organized crime syndicates. The CIA is an organized criminal organization. They do drug trafficking, human trafficking, gun running, you name it. Just look at Iran-Contra. There's numerous other scandals of the CIA doing stuff like that, right? Their currency is secrecy, and it's blackmail. And it's not just the CIA that's like this. It's Mossad that's like this. It's pretty much every intelligence agency on the planet. In the U.S., the CIA and the intelligence apparatus in a big way is really the real government. If you look at, you know, Kennedy and all the presidents since then, you know, whether it's Democrat or Republican, not much changes. And that's because the real power in the U.S. does not lie with who is president. It lies with these organized criminals that rule over us. And this is crucial to understand so that people stop buying into the left-right paradigm. It is fake. Both parties are controlled by these same people that were really behind Epstein and all of this mess. And this is who sets policy. And until people start to realize this on a massive scale, we will be just walking further and further into this nightmare that these criminals are creating for us.
They've been involved in our stealing our technology for many, many years. But another way that Israel has affected U.S. foreign policy is through blackmail operations. And I would point to Jeffrey Epstein, who was allowed for 30 years to recruit young girls in America from vulnerable, broken homes as young as 13 years old. And Mr. Epstein, who I believe was a fake billionaire, I do not believe he was a billionaire. I believe he was an actor, an imposter on behalf of the Israeli Mossad. Mr. Epstein then lured powerful, influential American men into his various mansions so that they could rape the girls. The sexual acts were videotaped, and the videos were sent to Israel for blackmail operations against Americans.
If it were proven, what would the U.S. establishment do?
Nothing. Nothing. Too many American leaders have been videotaped by Jeffrey Epstein. There's not going to be any action from the American political establishment. The American ruling class is corrupt, and the American people must clean house. Both parties, both political parties in America are controlled by Zionists. There is no choice in America.
I can tell you she is still a prostitute. She is selling false stories now for money about me.
Do you have any concern calling her a prostitute when she was victimized at such a young age by this wealthy man?
She was not victimized. She made her own decisions in life.
But at the age of 15, some would say that's a little young and that she was taken advantage of.
When you were negotiating that deal, did you say the word whore so many times you forgot the meaning?
No, I didn't use that term. And I would never use that term to describe a young woman. I just laid out the facts. I chose to become a defense attorney because I like to defend the underdog. And I don't like supporting the government. I like challenging the government.
Man, I hope one day I can look at over 100 accusers and someone worth hundreds of millions of dollars and see that the rich pedophile is the underdog.
Fight the power.
Now, Jeffrey Epstein owned an island in the Caribbean called Little St. James. Have you ever been there? And if so, don't you hate it when Prince Andrew's ass knocks over your drink?
Well, my wife, my daughter, and I, she was about, I don't know, seven or something. When Jeffrey Epstein first bought the island, he flew a private plane. We were vacationing in Guadeloupe or Martinique, I forget. And he flew us to the island for one day to see the new island. Nobody was on the island. Mm. And we met there with a professor at Harvard Law School and his wife and my wife and my daughter. We spent one day there. There were no young people there. There were no girls. There were no women.
That's a big relief you weren't there during Epstein's 20-year alleged pedophile phase.
No, I never was in any area where Epstein was, where there were ever any young people or any misconduct that I ever saw. The same is true, again, president of Harvard, president of the United States.
Well, that's a convincing defense. Nothing could have happened, Ma. Bill Clinton was there.
Now, Jeffrey Epstein was known for gathering blackmail material on his visitors, which brings us to tonight's sponsor, Pleasant Dreams Natural Sleep Aid. Do you have trouble sleeping because you know Jeffrey Epstein's tapes are out there somewhere and could instantly destroy all you hold dear?
My greatest wish is that Jeffrey Epstein took tapes of everything, because that would prove conclusively that I was not on any of the tapes.
Alan, we're doing a sponsored piece here. Just give me a moment here.
He has to read the sponsor.
Then reach for Pleasant Dreams Natural Sleep Aid, because these days, nothing just disappears. Now, the alleged victims say that they gave massages at Epstein's residences that turned into abuse. You've said that you've only received one massage at Epstein's residence.
My wife had a massage. I had a massage. They were therapeutic massages. I kept my shorts on, yes. I'm not a big massage person. As I said, my wife had a massage. I had a massage. That was routine. When you went to Epstein's places, he offered massages. And obviously, when he had them, they were not just massages. But when he offered them to people like me and my wife, they were therapeutic.
I mean, it sounds normal enough.
After all that, anyone else feel like a boiling hot shower?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Hit it, Phyllis.
Oh, God, okay.
All right, I gotta go to my friend's house where he offers every guest a massage from a woman in a recorded private room out of the good, non-blackmail part of his heart. Good night, everyone. Dersh, if the feds come, who are you going to flip on first? Please say Bill Clinton.
I have nobody to flip on because I did nothing wrong, and I'm aware of nobody else who's done anything wrong except for the person who no longer is alive.
Get your eyes checked, man.
It would be really disappointing, not really, but it would depend on what was inside the magazine. I don't think Ivanka would do that inside the magazine, although she does have a very nice figure. I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Stop it! Oh, it's so weird!
I have never been so grateful for an ellipsis in my life.
You know who's one of the great beauties of the world, according to everybody, and I helped create her?
Who?
Ivanka. My daughter, Ivanka.
Yeah.
She's 6 feet tall. She's got the best body.
She's hot.
She's got Marla's legs. We don't know whether or not she's got this part yet, but time will tell.
Well, I was going to say sex, but I can't relate that.
He would be incredible for women in this country. And
it would be really disappointing. Not really. But it would depend on what was inside the magazine. I don't think Ivanka would do that inside the magazine, although she does have a very nice figure. I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Stop it! Oh, it's so weird!
I have never been so grateful for an ellipsis in my life.
You know who's one of the great beauties of the world, according to everybody, and I helped create her?
Who?
Ivanka. My daughter, Ivanka.
Yeah.
She's 6 feet tall. She's got the best body.
She's hot.
She's got Marla's legs. We don't know whether or not she's got this part yet, but time will tell.
Well, I was going to say sex, but I can't relate that.
He would be incredible for women in this country. And